Yes.
Well, I work in a department of college, but I'm a student at the University.
I wonder about that connection. I was wondering too.
Yeah.
Same place where you work together.
Yeah.
Are we all, are we going to sit down?
Who's the moderator?
You are the third presentation.
Yesterday when I gave a presentation, this one seemed to advance.
Oh, okay.
I was kind of used to using that one, but I think this
okay.
one advances.
Okay, good. I can do that.
And
just make sure
I think it seems to work better if you let it be a little bit lower than your mouth. You
oh,
don't get
okay.
that feedback.
Oh, okay.
But I think the other primary purpose of this is recording.
Yeah. Yeah.
They said the presentations were all loaded, and
it looks
so,
like they are.
Yeah, yeah. Shouldn't be problems. And I will make up that
3 minutes.
Yeah.
I think you're going to step back here. Slow down.
Check, check.
It's okay. Alright, you guys have any questions on anything?
We saw the presentations loaded before they pulled this one up, so I think we're
good. Okay, awesome. Awesome.
Thank you. One of those people that
Well, welcome to this session on Nursing Education Without Walls. I'm Mary Beth Reiner, your moderator for this session. And I'm starting just a minute or two early because I wanted to do a little bit of warm-up activity here. this building is actually one of the warmest I've been in since I've been here the last few weeks, so I finally took off my jacket. But I in terms of, you know, kind of who is here today a little bit, I know that we have one new member because I saw her badge. Anybody else a new member? Okay, we've got three, four. Oh, excellent. Yeah. Well, I appreciate the challenge of approaching your first convention, your first APHA convention, and the need for a strategy to survive it fairly effectively. I remember back to that time. I was actually standing in the hallway of a hotel waiting for some friends to go out for dinner one evening, and I thought I'd just walk up and down and, you know, see what was going on. And there was some presentation going on. I thought, wow, that is so interesting. I wonder what group that is. And so I walked over and looked at the sign a little bit closer, and it was part of the APHA convention. So a very diverse organization. We're going to have 20 minutes for each of the presentations, so we'll pretty much stay on time. And I've got little signs to flash the presenters. But I hope that as you have questions for the different presenters, that you'll jot them down, because I know that, you know, our practice of waiting till the last 10 minutes of the hour and a half means that you have a chance to forget it. But that's the time when we can really have our rich dialogue and share ideas and experiences. So without any more announcements, I'm going to introduce our first presenters, who are Julie Cruz and Kathy Przinski from Lourdes College. And Julie is also a student at University of Michigan. And she told me ahead of time, so I thought I would pass it on as a courtesy, that she's got to leave after her presentation to catch a flight. So not that she doesn't want to be part of the discussion, but she's got to get back home also. So I'll turn it over to you all.
Well, welcome, and I'm kind of impressed that there are so many people here at this late in the day.
We thought maybe we would have like five or six people or just the other presenters. We weren't sure. So just to let you know, we don't have anything to disclose except for the fact that we are funded by HRSA grants. We've had funding since 2004 to implement the program that we're going to talk a little bit about today. Basically, we're going to give you a little idea of the project background, a little bit of the overview and the lessons learned, and then the very last thing we're going to talk about is some of the impact on the cultural competence and the cultural responsiveness of our faculty, students, and the curriculum. So just to give you an idea of where Lourdes College is, we're in Northwest Ohio, right at the Michigan border. So if you're not familiar with that area, right outside of Toledo. We're an independent Catholic college sponsored by the Sisters of St. Francis, liberal arts and professional education. We offer associate, bachelor, and master degrees, and we're non-residential, which means that our population looks a little bit different than some institutions. We have nearly 2,100 students this fall, and our faculty student ratio is 15-1. So you can imagine we're very individualized with our students. We have mostly non-traditional students, although our traditional population is growing in recent years, mostly female. The college as a whole is, of the student population, is 22% racial ethnic minorities. And then, of course, we have a lot of students who qualify for financial aid. As you all know, the national goals in Healthy People 2010 is to increase the diversity of our health professions. The Bureau of Health Professions goals, again, the same thing, right in line with Healthy People 2010. And just to give you an idea of the background, when we started the project back in 2004, Lucas County racial ethnic minorities were about 23%, Ohio 15, and the United States was 26%. And another thing, a little tidbit of information that I think is really informative of what Lucas County looks like in Northwest Ohio is that 50% of the black or African American children in Lucas County are living at or below poverty compared to Ohio and the United States, which is quite a bit better than Lucas County. When we look at the racial ethnic minorities in nursing, 13% in the United States, and I think, Julie, the recent, was it in 2004, the latest sample survey, I think that actually dropped down to about 10.7. I don't know if any of you might know specifically what that is. In Ohio, 7.2%. Northwest Ohio, 6.2%. And in fall of 2003, before we started this project, the racial ethnic minority of the student population at Lourdes, nursing student population, was only 3.5%. So we designed a program to increase the proportion of students from diverse backgrounds in our BSN program. And basically what we did was we looked at our needs assessment revealed that potential CNA and LPN applicants represented more racial ethnic minorities. And so that basically was our strategy, was to design programs to help nurses aides and LPNs earn their bachelor's degree. So here you can see the success of our program. We actually were able to increase our racial ethnic minority of our student population from 13.5% in 2003, and you see 2006, 17.22, and this fall we were very pleased to see that it was at 19%. And you can see why that CNA and LPN population pool, our current population, is 31 and 44%. So that, of course, increases the overall nursing diversity population. The program components I already mentioned was the CNA and LPN to BSN programs. We have bridge courses and all those kinds of things. Recruitment and retention, doing some special advising, and Julie's going to talk about some of these things related to the Success Program, First Experience course, and our Friends in Nursing mentoring course. One of the issues that we discovered when we started bringing in more students from racial and ethnic minorities and disadvantaged backgrounds was, were the programs at the college really able to support those students? And we identified very quickly, actually, in the very first year of the program, a very high attrition rate. In fact, from the first semester to the second semester of the program, we had a 60% attrition of our LPN to BSN students. They just started out and they would just hit a wall. They just were not prepared to deal with the academic rigor of a four-year program.
And some of the characteristics of our nurses aide and minority population before the grant started, we did not have LPNs at that time, but some of the things that we noticed was that they had kind of a lack of connectedness with their peers. They tended to avoid faculty. They didn't quite feel comfortable with faculty, like class would get out and they would be the first ones to leave. They didn't hang out. They didn't want to talk with faculty. They didn't access student services. They didn't go to the library. They didn't go to the Wynn Center, even if they were suggested to do those things from faculty. And they seem to have a lack of confidence in the academic setting. And so I'm going to let Julie talk a little bit about some of the strategies that we used and the lessons that we learned to deal with those issues.
Hello. There's three main retention strategies that we used at Lourdes College, and the first is related to a first experience course. The second is our success program, and the third is the mentorship component. So in terms of a first experience course, this is our Nursing 201 course, and the purpose of the course, it was really designed as a first experience course for students' first semester on campus, and it focuses on skills to prepare student nurses for academic success in the nursing program. It really provides a strong foundation for professionalism, critical thinking, assistance with nursing math, looking at nursing math, communication skills, as well as networking. The Success Program is a faculty-run program, and it assists students to help them achieve success in the nursing program. Some examples of the services that that the faculty provide students include time management, test-taking skills, writing skills, assistance with tutoring and note-taking. And so this is a referral program in which other faculty can refer a student to the program, students can self-refer, or the advisors for students can refer students to the program. Another component is the peer mentorship program. And this is coordinated through the Student Nursing Association on campus. And this program links student nurses, the junior students, with a senior student. And we'll talk further about some of the pitfalls and lessons learned about our mentorship program. But one aspect is the SNA component. And I'll talk about the success program in a bit. So in terms of another mentorship component, so we have the peer mentorship program linking junior students up with senior students. We also have our Friends in Nursing mentorship program, which links student nurses up with professional nurses. And this provides an opportunity for student nurses to get one-on-one advice from professional nursing volunteers. And the program components include an orientation for both the mentors and the students. We offer the mentors CE credit to attend a program designed to give them information on what it means to be a mentor. There's also a dinner involved with this. And so a couple weeks later, after the education of both the students and the mentors, we have a social gathering where we match students with mentors. And this is called our Speed Networking event. And what this event actually is modeled after, if you've heard of speed dating, it's similar to that model. And it's actually worked very well. And at the end, if people have questions, they can talk to Kathy more about it. But it's actually been a very fun event for both students and the mentors. Some of the lessons learned with the speed networking, with linking the students with the professional nurses, is that we've had a lot of issues with schedule conflicts. Both the students and the professional mentors or the professional nurses have very busy schedules, very busy lives, and it is very hard to find a time that works for everyone. In addition, it's very labor intensive to create a program like this. It requires a lot of monetary resources as well as human resources as well. We've also had issues related to no-shows to the event, and mostly that's on the student end and not necessarily the professional nursing end. also communication. It's really been difficult to find a communication method that has worked best for everyone involved, from students to the mentors. So does phone work best for people, email, internet? There's multiple modes, and to find a strategy that works for everyone has been difficult. And finally, I'll just touch on the success program is the third component of mentorship. So we have the peer mentorship, we have the professional to student mentorship, and we've also recently worked with the success coordinators at Lourdes College to develop, it's actually a new idea we've come up with, to link at-risk students with either a professional or a student mentor. So based on all the lessons learned, all the lessons learned from both the peer mentorship program and the Friends in Nursing program, this is why we've chosen to use the success coordinators to help us with linking students with professional mentors. And we're doing this to kind of streamline the process. The success coordinators see students that are at risk for people that are struggling in the nursing program. And so therefore, these people are, or the success coordinators are aware of the at-risk students and are able to assess who could potentially benefit most from a mentor. And so this really is going to help, hopefully, streamline the process as far as assessing at-risk students, and then also having a system in place for continuously monitoring these students in the program. So, in one of the main lessons that we really learned with, I mean, this, we've been working at different mentorship strategies for the last couple of years, and it's really been hard to find what really has been working best. And this really seems like a very simple concept, but one of the biggest lessons we've learned just by working with the success coordinators is that really, and I mean, and this is really pretty basic, it's kind of one of the basic principles of program planning, is to have buy-in from key informants and key people. And so really we've had the faculty, we now have the faculty on board seeing that mentorship is important. We have the just different faculty members right, and just making, right, in seeing the importance of mentorship and why it would be helpful for students. And so really having faculty ownership has been key. So this project really has also helped us to evolve as a program in terms of cultural responsiveness. And we hired a diversity consultant to help improve our curriculum. And so some of the components that the diversity consultant worked with us on includes language modifications in our program, working with the philosophy of our nursing program as well as the program purpose, and also with nursing course activities. So some of the lessons learned regarding selecting a cultural diversity consultant would be, one, assessing the fit with the need to your program. A second lesson learned would be being clear about the purpose and goals of what your program is all about and what you expect out of the consultant, or just being clear about your purpose and goals. The third lesson learned would be having access to the consultant in terms of professional development for your faculty as well as other community partners. And so some sample student activities that have developed from the consultant, you can see, you can read on the slide a few of the activities that we've incorporated. However, the community health nursing course, there's a couple neat cultural activities they do. One is a mini cultural assessment where students interview an individual from a minority group. There's group discussion and then a presentation. And then also students share personally significant personal artifacts as well. So in terms of the impact on curriculum, this is pretty exciting because this is probably one of the most significant outcomes of of the project in terms of the fact that it actually relates to the whole nursing curriculum design. So in terms of program outcomes, these are in the works. These are draft outcomes. So the first is to implement culturally responsive care across the lifespan within local to global healthcare systems, and two, to examine the influence or impact of healthcare policies and best practice standards on the quality of healthcare services. And if you would like access to our presentation, it's located on the Lourdes College website or accessible through APHA. And so another thing that I'd like to point out too is that currently we're working with other faculty in terms of developing mini research projects out of this to see really in terms of our mentorship program, one, our relationships with the mentorship program, are the relationships sustainable after 6 months, 1 year, as well as finding qualitative information as well. And secondly, in terms of our first experience research, or our first experience program or course, we're interested in finding out if students who take this NUR 201 course, how successful are they in the future of their nursing program. So does Nursing 201, which addresses study skills and math and APA format and such, does this have an impact throughout their nursing program? So anyways, I thank you for your time.